Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to tell you something this morning, and you need to really, really make sure you hear it. Okay? You need to make sure you hear it. You need to make sure that you understand it, and you need to make sure that you believe it. Because it comes from the Word of God. Now, let me ask you this, and you know, just the Bible says for us to examine ourselves, see if we're in the faith. I want to ask you this question. You have made a determination that you're going to believe what's in this book. That you're going to believe the things that God's written in His Word. But there are those times when you wonder whether or not you are really believing. There are those times when that doubt comes floating through and tries to mess you up. But I'm going to share something with you this morning that is going to help you in that area. This is a revelation. This is a revelation. And I also would encourage you to read the handout this morning. Be holy, for I am holy. Boy, that puts a lot of pressure on people that say, well, you know, God's holy, and He told me to be holy. Well, how are you going to get there? How are you going to be holy? How long is it going to take you to get holy? What if you run out of time before you make it? But see, all of those things are from a human perspective. From God's perspective, He said, I'm holy, and if you will believe in me, you'll be holy. So read that and it'll help you. Mark 11, you there? Now the first part of the chapter talks about Jesus and the fig tree, where He cursed the fig tree and it died. Then the disciples and He came back by, and that's where we're going to pick up. Verse 20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, when we first started hearing about faith and started hearing about, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. And we realized that, you know, Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. We started learning about what faith is. And faith is the thing that connects us with the reality of what God has promised. Now, at the beginning, I can remember something that we kept hearing. And I read you verse 22 where it says in the translations, have faith in God. But one thing that I remember from those first years of learning about faith is that so many of the faith teachers were talking about the Word of God, and how many of you understand that the Bible wasn't originally written in English, it was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but this part was written in Greek. And some of the things in the Greek New Testament appear, and they're not anywhere else in Greek literature, in the Greek language. I'll throw one out at you just for chase a rabbit here for about 20 seconds. The word agape. It's not used anywhere in Greek literature except in the New Testament. And the word agape means unconditional love. Just love because you decide to love. And that's the kind of love God has for us. But when we started hearing the message, we kept hearing people say, now understand, it says, and it was in the King James, and it's in the New King James, have faith in God. But what it actually says is have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Now, if you don't see a difference there, think about it for a minute. There is a difference between having faith in God and having the faith of God. When you have faith in God, you are working to build that faith on your own efforts. But when you have the faith of God, or understand that you have the faith of God, God has given to every man the measure of faith. You don't have to generate your faith. All you've got to do is believe that God has given it to you. And so I wanted you to see that before we jump over here to Galatians chapter 2. Now, it's several verses of Scripture, but the most of them are just to lead up to the one that we're going to be looking at, because it'll give you the background of the situation and you'll understand the context of it. We're going to begin in verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, begin with verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Now this is Paul talking about Peter. And that's the same apostle Peter. When Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James... James was the overseer of the Christian church at Jerusalem. And I'll tell you one thing, they had some problems too in adjusting to the gospel of Jesus Christ and making a comparison to what they had been in the Jewish religion. Now they had and the Jews believed that everybody else in the world, all of the Gentiles, were second-class citizens. That God wasn't blessing them. Though this case of Ras or Rah, whatever will be, but God's blessing us as Jews. It says, but before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. How many times do people, they'll start reaching out to people that need to be reached out to, and then somebody comes along and tells you, you know, well, you hang out with them kind of people, you're going to be just like them. And I'm not talking about hanging out. I'm talking about walking in front of them like a light. We don't need to be hanging out with people whose lifestyle is contrary to Christian beliefs. But we don't need to separate ourselves from them. And that's exactly what Peter was doing. And I like this to read on verse 13. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. That's pretty strong language. Paul calling Peter and all the ones with him hypocrites. Because before those other Jews came, you didn't have any problems eating with the Gentiles. When those other important Jews came, you withdrew yourself. Says, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Now the word hypocrisy there means to denote a theatrical performance by one who spoke in dialogue. Then it was used for play acting, role playing, pretending, hence acting insincerely, hypocrisy. He said, you started acting different. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? No. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, here we start getting, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but, and here is a catcher, my Bible and your Bible, unless you've got a King James Version. If you've got a King James Version, it'll read a little differently, and I want to talk about that. For the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. The King James Version says, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, as I talked about that over there in Mark 11:22, there's a difference between having faith in God and having the faith of God. Here, it says, the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. But it really says, and it could say either way, just like it did over in Hebrews 11, Mark 11, 22, it could either say have faith in God or have the faith of God, and it would be correct. Same things here. King James Version, and I'll tell you what, you can say what you want to about the King James Version, and I use the New King James because it's really easier to read and it's easier to understand. And it's pretty close. But there are some things that you got to back up sometimes onto the original. Not that, you know, the King James Version is the only version. And you go to hell if you use another one. But you can't throw it out either. Because it's been around for a lot longer than any of the rest of them. But it says, by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now, it doesn't say that in New King James. It says by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. Now here's the thing that I want to talk about. I want to talk about the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. Not your faith in him, but his faith. His faith in what he did. There's no doubt in Jesus' mind that he died for every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever been born on this planet and ever will be born. He died for them. He died in their place. And he has the faith to believe that his death made provision for their sin. When he submitted himself in the garden and he prayed and he wouldn't let them nail him on the cross, he had the faith in God that he was going to be risen from the dead. He knew it was going to happen. Now we try to know it's going to happen, but sometimes we get to looking at our faith and we start saying, man, you know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So what I'm talking to you this morning is about what you need to believe in. You don't need to believe in yourself. Don't have faith in your faith. Now develop your faith. God gave it to you to develop. It's like muscle. The more you use it, the bigger it gets. The more it expands. Stronger it gets. But understand that it's not your faith that performs the promises of God. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. And your faith is just in his faith. Now, we go around and we say, well, Jesus could do anything. Okay, if you believe Jesus could do anything, then just put some faith in that and he'll do it for you. I mean, you're not trying to make God do something by your faith. You're not, it's not a formula where it says if you confess this 25 times, it'll happen. Some people have made a law out of faith. I want to read you something going back, and it won't do you any good to go back there unless you got the Spirit-filled Life Bible. But I'm going back to Mark 11, and I'm going to read you something. From Jesus' own lips, we receive the most direct and practical instruction concerning our exercise of faith. Consider three points. Number one, it is to be in God. Faith that speaks is first faith that seeks. Faith that speaks. Now, human can speak. You can speak something, and you can say the right thing, but you're just saying it because it sounds good. You're just saying it because that's what you want to believe. You're not saying it necessarily because that's what you do believe. But what you have to understand is just start believing what Jesus said. Faith that speaks is first faith that seeks. The Almighty One is the source and grounds of our faith and being. The faith we have, we got from Him. Faith only flows to Him. Now remember this statement. Faith only flows to Him because of the faithfulness that flows from Him. Your faith only gets to God because His faith got to you first. You know, Jesus is believing for you. He believes a lot about you that you don't believe about yourself. He believes a lot about all of us that we have trouble believing about ourselves. Faith is not a trick performed with our lips, but a spoken expression that springs from the conviction of our hearts. The idea that faith's confession is a formula for getting things from God is unbiblical. But the fact that the faith in our heart is to be spoken and thereby becomes active and effective towards specific results is taught here by the Lord Jesus. Number three, Jesus' words, whatever things. Apply this principle to every aspect of our lives. The only restrictions are that our faith be in God, our living Father, and in alignment with His will and word, and that we believe, not doubting in our hearts, thus speaking to the mountain is not a vain or superstitious exercise or indulgence in humanistic mind science, but instead becomes an applied release of God's creative word of promise. And so you see, don't just believe that you got to do something with your faith. Believe that Jesus Christ has done everything He said He's done. Believe everything about Him in the Scriptures. Accept that. And whether you know, most people don't have any trouble believing about Jesus. It's believing for themselves that tear them up. And we try to believe. Lord, help me to believe. And we work so hard at it. And you get that word? We work so hard at it. The same scripture says, not by works. Don't make faith a work. Make it an outflow of your relationship to Jesus Christ. Amen. And then, you know, when you praise Him, when you worship Him, when you talk to Him, when you listen to Him, all of these things is a flow of faith between you and Him. Listen, we know this scripture, but listen to what Paul said. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now that's the New King James. King James, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God. Now, if you don't see a difference in that, you won't get that revelation and take a step up toward Him. And to look down and say, I've been struggling with this all the time because I've been trying to do it myself. All I've got to do is believe for Him to do it. Make myself in line with Him. I do not set aside the grace of God. Now see, when you try to work for something, you're setting aside the grace of God. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. In other words, if righteousness comes through the law, then what was the purpose of all that Jesus did? Didn't serve any purpose at all if righteousness comes by keeping the law. Comes by faith in Him. And the faith that you have in His faith. You have faith that Jesus loves you? That He's exercised enough faith to love you just like you are? That He wants to take care of you? Do you have enough faith to believe that through His faith He's got you back? Do you have enough faith to believe that He'll never leave you and never forsake you? Because that's what His faith says. His faith says to Him, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And He will never leave us, never forsake us, because He's not going to break down in His faith. Which brings me to the last scripture I want to read you. It's in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2. Verse 11. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. This is a faithful saying. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. If you stop believing, He don't. You get yourself in trouble, He doesn't walk over and say, well, I'm done with you. You ain't gonna amount to nothing. We are faithless. Sometimes you feel like you're faithless. The thing you're looking at, your mountain is so big, your valley's so wide, the river's so wide, you can't cross it, you can't climb it, you can't go around it, and you just feel faithless. You feel like nothing's happening. I'll tell you what, if you live by what you watch, you will be faithless most of the time. And I mean even in things that we're praying for. You can't pray for something and then see it in the natural getting worse. You may see it in the natural getting worse, but that can't shake your faith. You can't let that shake your faith because Jesus Christ is still on the throne and He is still faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Hey, I'm here. I saved the world. All you got to do is believe it. All you got to do is just trust me to do what I have said I will do. Because I got the faith to bring it to pass. There's nothing wrong with my faith. If you lose all of yours, I've still got my faith. If you lose your faith in yourself, He still has faith in you. Because He's not here to judge us for that. I did not come into the world to condemn the world, or the Son of God, it says. He didn't say, I. The Son of God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save it. I didn't come to make it harder for you. I came to make it easier. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't say in there, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you more to carry. I'll put some more laws on you. I'll put some more rules on you. You know, we got one rule. We got one rule. Jesus said there's one commandment. And that commandment is this: believe in him whom he has sent. So when you read in there that Jesus Christ died for the world to take away your sin, when you read in there that the Philippian jailer asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We read those things in there. Jesus believes every one of them. He doesn't have any doubt in them. And so quit trying to have faith in yourself and just keep walking in the faith of Jesus Christ. That'll take a lot of pressure off of you. Make you a better person. Give you more strength. You know, it's just like I said in the news, the bulletin this morning. When you start believing you're holy, you'll start acting like it. When you start believing that God's made you righteous, you'll start living righteously. And what I said in there, and I'll just say it here. Are you holy? And most people's answers, most Christians' answers would be, well, not yet, but I'm trying to be. Well, what is it you're going to do that's going to get you there? What's going to bring you to holiness? How much you got to do to be holy? Are you 20% holy or 30% holy or 40% holy? And working on the rest of it? And it really doesn't help that Jesus said all of our works are as filthy rags. That doesn't help your work ethic when it comes to your relationship with God. You got to understand that you have a relationship with God for the simple fact that God loved you. Loved you with everything he has and everything that he is. For God so loved you that he sent his only begotten Son. If you believe in him, you'd not die but everlasting life. Don't underestimate Jesus. Don't start comparing him to you. Start comparing you to him and say, that's what I'm like. Jesus said, if you say to the mountain, he said it. He said, I could do it. I don't feel like I can do it, but he said I can do it. No matter how you feel, you just got to believe you have the faith of Jesus Christ. You walk in the faith of Jesus Christ. You live by the faith of Jesus Christ. You didn't die for your own sins. He did. You didn't rise from the dead for your salvation. He did. And you know what he said? Come on, be one with me. How do I get there? You get there by my faith. You just reach out with your faith that I've given you, return it to me, and the faith that I have will get this done. I'm going to tell you something. You got to keep things in perspective. When you pray for something and you use your faith on something and that thing happens, it's still not your faith that did it. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. Wasn't Laverne's faith that raised me from the dead back in February. I mean, her commitment to it, yes, her faith was strong, but it wasn't her faith that raised me from the dead. It was God. Jesus Christ. So quit trusting in yourself. And it's so easy to trust in yourself. And then when you start trusting in yourself, what do you get? You get let down. But Jesus is not going to let you down. Jesus, you've got enough faith for this. And I'm putting my faith in you. I'm putting my faith in your faith. And we're going to get her done. It's going to work. But you're going to see to it that it works. You don't worship your faith. You don't worship the miracles. You don't live by your faith. You don't live by miracles. You live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. And that can make you smile all the way from one ear to the other. Wow. No matter what I'm in, I have the faith of Jesus Christ working for me. And his faith never fails. And you know, God knows what we're doing even before we know what we're doing. God gave me a word for somebody this morning at home before I ever came to church. And my first thought was, well, Lord, I mean, you know, ain't no guarantee that that person's going to be there. I mean, it's not like they're an individual that you can expect to be there every Sunday. I mean, they come fairly regularly, but I, you know. But God gave me a word for you. And when I saw y'all come in, I said, well, God, you know what you're doing, don't you? And God wants you to know that he loves you. And God says that there are things that are reaching back from the past. And because of those things that are reaching back from the past, it's caused you to believe that you're not worthy for God to really work on your behalf. But God says it's not your worth that makes the difference. It's the worth of my son. It's the deal I made with him. And he said, give me a minute to bring it all back into perspective. Nothing that you've done changes the way he feels about you. And nothing that's been put under the blood of Jesus Christ is going to rise up against you except in your own mind and in the hands of the devil. Now, I know what he said. You've been hearing things like that. The devil's been talking to you and he's been lying to you. And God said, now stop listening to his lies because they don't go with what the book says. He'll never tell you the truth. He'll always tell you something that you feel is right, that you think is right. Well, maybe it is. You know, I kind of feel that way sometimes. But that's not the issue. The issue is what's the Word say? What's the Word of God say? The Word of God says that you're a conqueror, that you're victorious. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that's what God says of you this morning. You see yourself better than what you see yourself. Get a better picture of you because you are a better person than what you think you are. And that's from God. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything this morning?
Amen.
You know, I just felt like when I found out about that, I felt like a big weight lifted off me and I could stand up straighter. Because, you know, it's a tendency to put your faith in your faith. And you judge everything by how much faith you've got. And he said faith is a grain of mustard seed would move a mountain. That means you don't have to have much. You know why you don't have to have much? You just need to put what you've got in the right place. And that's believing in him.
Saying you turn it over to God, turn it over to God.
Yep.
And everything we do, because we figure, well, I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
So, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, he said that it's a big difference between telling God or saying that you've turned things over to God and actually turning things over to God. It's easy to say, well, I'm going to turn this over to God. Well, then what are you sleeping with it for? Why is it every time you wake up, it's there looking at you? Yeah. Yeah. Gave it to him with a rubber band so we can pull it back when we needed to. Stop doing that. Cut that rubber band. Let it go. Let it fly away. I'll tell you what, I don't know if dying did this to me or not, but since I came back, it doesn't bother me. I mean, isn't that right, Laverne? Laverne, she'll talk about things at home. I say, it'll be all right. And I mean, just a complete different thing. I guess you realize, man, you know, you can leave here quick, so why be so concerned about everything that you can't do nothing about? Just trust Jesus. And he'll do something about it. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. I'm getting done as early as Sister Shirley. Yeah. You got something, or are you just coming up? Stay engaged. Remember, we're engaged. And just like Captain Picard tells the people on the Enterprise in Star Trek, engage. Hallelujah. Now you take this week and you give it to Jesus and let him take care of it by his faith. Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for everything that your Son did, and your Son did it because you made it possible. Your Son came and died for us and was raised from the dead because you made it possible, because you loved us, because you love every one of us. You don't have anything for us but love. Help us, Lord God, to understand that. Help us to love ourselves as you loved us. To love one another. And to know that everything's going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right because Jesus is taking care of it. He's in charge of it. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. We bless you. And bless your people this week, Lord God. Let them be lights to the world. Let them be testimony and example of the grace and mercy of God and of the power of the faith of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.